once in a while, the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah will quote a minhag. The minhag is to do this. So it's very striking that when the Shulchan Aruch quotes a minhag, almost every time the Vilna Gaon wrote a Perush on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. Beir HaGra on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Vilna Gaon almost always quotes a source for the minhag. In other words, there's a Gemara somewhere, there's an opinion in the Rishonim somewhere. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not a mitzvah, it's only a minhag. But the Gra points out that the minhag has a basis in the halacha. It's not that, oh, out of the blue they popped the minhag is a kiyum of something. It's part of a broader halacha. That's what the Vilna Gaon does. So because of that, Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal the Rav, spent a lot of time explaining minhagim. He took it as axiomatic that every minhag that goes on out there has some basis in the halacha. And just like the Vilna Gaon quotes a makor from somewhere for the minhagim, so that is the assumption. That was the Rav's assumption, that every minhag is based on something real in the halachic process. And that's why my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita always says that the Rav would spend an inordinate amount of time explaining minhagim, giving whole shiurim, developing where does this minhag come from, more than other Magide Shir. I found this idea to be very exciting and very compelling, so I want to just give some of the examples of minhagim and what their sources are in halacha. I'll start with my favorite. There is a minhag when you proclaim Kiddush HaChodesh. You know when you're in Shul, Shabbos Mevarchim? So, you know, you say here it's Omer Fanecha, the very powerful tefillah, and there's a nigun that people use different nigunim. And then the Gabbai announces when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Then the Chazan says, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, Yeh B'yom HaChamishi. Okay? I'm not sure, I don't know if you know from the woman section, when the Chazan makes that proclamation, he holds the Torah. Are you aware of that?
No.
Well, this is a little, you know, this is the men's side, right? So this, okay. Chazan holds the Torah when he proclaims Rosh Chodesh. But he does. Question is why? Why? So there are different reasons given. So this is a classic example where the Rav developed a whole explanation. And it's as follows. We discussed the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, we discussed that the Beis Din proclaims the new moon. The Adim come to the Beis Din and they say they saw the new moon. Beis Din declares Rosh Chodesh. Okay. And we discussed how the declaration of Rosh Chodesh of the Beis Din indirectly also establishes all of the Yom Tovim, right? Hashem says Pesach is on Tesvav Nisan. Okay, yeah, but when's Tesvav Nisan going to be? Well, that depends on when Beis Din decides which day will be Aleph Nisan, right? The first day of Nisan might be Tuesday or Wednesday. Who decides, right? When who decides what the first day of Nisan is going to be back in the time of the Beis Din decides, right? We discussed this. Every Jewish month is 29 or 30 days. On the 30th day, the Beis Din opens the stores and waits for the Adim to come. If the Adim come and say, we saw the new moon last night, Beis Din says, today's Rosh Chodesh. If the Adim don't come, then the next day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So Beis Din's declaration of the new moon also impacts on when Yom Tov is going to be. That's a very powerful concept. This is a side point, but this is a very powerful concept. That what do we see? We see that human beings, Beis Din, have the ability to create Kedusha. Think about it. Think about this for a second. This is a very powerful idea. Pesach is Tesva of Nisan. If you eat bread on Tesva of Nisan, you're chayiv karis. Who decides whether eating bread on that day is going to be chayiv karis or mutter? Beis Din decides. Because if 2 weeks ago, Beis Din made Rosh Chodesh on Tuesday, then Tuesday is Tesvav. If Beis Din made Rosh Chodesh on Wednesday, then Tuesday is your Dalet, and you can eat bread in the morning until 10 o'clock. So it's amazing. Who decides whether the third Tuesday in Nisan, as an example, will be holy and will actually have real Kedusha? Beis Din decides. Human beings are able to create Kedusha in the day itself. That's an amazing concept. Human beings can control time. Time is out there, and Beis Din says, we control time. We're deciding whether that day is Kadosh, and it's a big difference. Because if Tuesday is Kadosh and you eat bread, you're Chayiv Kares. And if Wednesday is Kadosh and you eat bread on Tuesday, you're not. So this might be a reason why. I heard this board in high school, and I think my Rebbe said he saw it in one of the introductions to one of the art scrolls. So, but I haven't found it inside, but it's a great shot. This might be why the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is the first mitzvah in the Torah, which is very interesting. The first mitzvah given to Am Yisrael as a nation is Kiddush HaChodesh. Who says so? Who points it out? Who points it out that the first mitzvah, and you have to know this in this school, what? Which Rashi? The first Rashi in the Chumash points it out. Rashi says, the Torah should have started from where? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Why doesn't it? Okay. Why should the Torah start HaChodesh? Because that's the first mitzvah in the Torah given time Yisrael as a nation. That's mitzvah Kiddush HaChodesh. Why is it the first? If you were writing the Torah, what would the first mitzvah be? Shema, Emuna, don't do Avodah Zarah, Limud Torah maybe. But why? So it could be that this mitzvah is a paradigm for putting Kedusha into Zman. And that's a paradigm for all of life. If you go through life, a person has 80, 90, 120 years. So if you do mitzvos in your life, that second of your existence, you have made holy. And it will now last forever. That's a long time. Because the impact of that moment when you did a mitzvah lasts forever. So it's an amazing concept. I can take time and I can actually, me, you, can create Kedusha in this moment of existence. How? By doing mitzvahs. What is the ultimate example of creating Kedusha? Beis Din creates Kedusha's Pesach. Hashem says Tesvav Nisan. Hashem gives the potential. Hashem says Tesvav Nisan. Beis Din, you decide which will be Tesvav Nisan. Tuesday or Wednesday. That's powerful. That's a beautiful pshat. So anyway, when Beis Din declares Rosh Chodesh, they are also indirectly declaring all of the Yom Tovim. And that's why we discussed this also briefly earlier in the year. You find this difference in the brachos of the bracha of Kedusha on Shabbos. On Shabbos we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Right? Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. On Yom Tov you say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, Ve'azmanim. There's Yisrael there. Why is Yisrael there? So what's Yisrael doing there? What's Yisrael? This is the answer. The Gemara says this. The Gemara says this. Hashem makes Shabbos holy. Every seventh day is Shabbos. Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on Shabbos. Every seventh day has Kedusha Shabbos, no matter what we do. Hashem gave us a mitzvah saying Kiddush. Okay, we add on. But the Shabbos is Kadosh without, with or without us. Yom Tov, Hashem was Mekadesh Am Yisrael, and then we, Am Yisrael, with Hashem's Kedusha that He gave into us, we're Mekadesh the Yom Tovin. How? Through Kiddush HaChodesh. That's the Pashup Shot. That's the Pashup Shot. Mekadesh Yisrael Ve'azman. Mekadesh Yisrael Ve'yom HaKippurim. That's the Pshat. One second. The question though is, why does it say Mekadesh Yisrael Ve'azman? What else could it have said? Mekadesh Beistin. They're the ones doing it. So here, the Rav said this long shiur. Very long, big shiur. And if you're interested, it's in print in different places with lots of proofs from Gemaras and Rambams. The gist of what he said is the following chiddush. The Beis Din HaGadol, we normally view the Beis Din HaGadol as being similar to Lehavdil, the Supreme Court. All the big shailas go to the Beis Din HaGadol. And it is. The Beis Din HaGadol is like the Supreme Court. But Rabbi Soloveitchik brought a whole bunch of proofs that the Beis Din HaGadol also acts sometimes, lahavdil, like the House of Representatives. It has a status as representing Am Yisrael. And certain mitzvos that are Am Yisrael mitzvos, the Beis Din HaGadol does. And he brought different examples. And that's what's happening here. The Rav said that this bracha reflects the following yesod. Really, Am Yisrael is Mekadesh, the new moon every month. But we are Mekadesh, we Am Yisrael, we are Mekadesh, the new moon, through our representatives, the Beis Din HaGadol. And that's the pshat. So the bracha reflects what's really happening. What's really happening halachically is that we Am Yisrael are being Mekadesh the Chodesh. Declares it, so when they declare Rosh Chodesh, it's our declaration of Rosh Chodesh through the Beis Din HaGadol. One of his proofs was, and this is a huge topic, we know that the Beis Din HaGadol stopped functioning to be Mekadesh the Chodesh during the time of the Amorayim. And that's when Hillel established the new moon, established the calendar. How did he do that? How did he establish back then for the next couple thousand years? That's a good question. There are different approaches. One approach is he had the authority to do it. The Rambam sounds like he says that Hillel just established the calendar when Rosh Chodesh is supposed to happen. But the Rambam sounds like he says that the Kiddush HaChodesh happens every month. When Am Yisrael declares and Am Yisrael acts on Rosh Chodesh like it's Rosh Chodesh, that is the real declaration of Rosh Chodesh. When there's a Beis Din HaGadol, the mitzvah is to do the declaration through the Beis Din HaGadol. When there's no Beis Din HaGadol, we're stuck. We do it ourselves. How do we do it? By acting like it's Rosh Chodesh, acting like it's Yom Tov. That's a tip of an iceberg of a much bigger shiur. So now, the Chazon, who was about to proclaim Rosh Chodesh in Shul, really, when you think about it, he is acting on behalf of whom? All of Am Yisrael. That's how, because really it's Am Yisrael's job to Mekadesh the Chodesh. So, what can the Chazon do to show that for the next few seconds, he is trying to act on behalf of all of Am Yisrael? He's going to hold the Torah. Because the Torah is the spiritual glue that binds Am Yisrael together. How come we're a nation? You're French. Let's say you're French. A person's in France, and they're in France for 10 generations. Then the person moves to America. 4 generations later, they're American. The idea of a nation, you don't really have out there. You move, eventually you're not part of the nation. You become an American. you know, with French ancestry. By us, it's not that way, Lahabdil. We're a nation. Goyachad Baritz. We're the real only, really, there's a whole other shear, but we're a nation. What makes us a nation? So this is the famous, you have to know. Rav Sadi Gaon says in Emunos Videos that Am Yisrael is a nation because of the Torah. Since we all, as a nation, accepted the Torah, and all of us guard and keep the Torah as a nation, that's what binds us. So therefore, and this is not great, this is fabulous. The Chazan is about to do an act where he's basically acting on behalf of Am Yisrael. What can he do to show that he wants to make this declaration, having all of Am Yisrael with him? What can he do? He holds on to the Torah. This is what makes all of us one big unit, and that's maybe a very powerful, fundamental explanation for this minhag of holding the Torah when the Chazan declares Rosh Chodesh. That is a classic example of what I started with, that just like the Gra always gives some sort of source, a Gemara, a Rishon, for a minhag in the Shulchan Aruch. So based on that, the Rav took it as axiomatic that every minhag is based on, it's grounded in something. Let's find, we don't have ceremonies in Yahadus. Oh, we just do this because, no. There's a reason why we're doing it. It fulfills some halakhic principle. It could be that halakhic principle wasn't a real mitzvah deraisa, derabanan. It's only a minhag. But the minhag is based on something, some halakhic principle. Kabbalah Shabbos is interesting. Why is Kabbalah Shabbos interesting? I mean, Kabbalah Shabbos is actually very interesting. Where is Kabbalah Shabbos not found? Yes. More than that. Yeah, that's true. Where else is it not found? It's not found in the Gemara. It's not found in their early Rishonim. Who began Kabbalah Shabbos? The Ari and his Talmidim, his Chevra. Think about it. A tefillah that all of Am Yisrael says, it's like 400 years old. Where did it come from? I mean, so we know the Arizal started it. I mean, but, and you should know, by the way, it was controversial, you know. Imagine you're living in the 1700s, and, you know, you're moving along in Europe, and you hear about this Kabbalah Shabbos thing, and you say, wait a second, my father never said Kabbalah Shabbos. My grandmother never said Kabbalah Shabbos. My great-grandfather never said Kabbalah Shabbos. Why am I saying Kabbalah Shabbos now? And it took a while. There were communities. It took a while until it spread. So what's it based on? So the Rav thought that Kabbalah Shabbos is based on a halacha. We know that there is Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos. Onik Shabbos is something you do on Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos. That's what the Gra says. What's the difference of Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos? What's the difference? They're both mitzvahs de Rabbanon to enhance our Shabbos. So Onik Shabbos means to enjoy Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon says that Onik Shabbos are things we do on Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos. Chont. Chont, the Gematria, is Onik Shabbos. Assuming you like Chont. Nowadays, of course, the modern example, of course, is what? Mishpacha Magazine. Mishpacha Magazine, that's Onik Shabbos. Sit on the couch. Now, we had a machlokas in another class. Apparently, I was surprised, but apparently, women read Family first, before their regular magazine, and I think most men read the magazine first. That could be, that's a difference. Interesting. Yeah, it's okay, good for Shalom Bayis, then you can trade afterwards. Onik Shabbos, Mishpacha Magazine. Kavod Shabbos are things we do before Shabbos, to get ready for Shabbos. When something special is coming, you prepare. You want to show honor to the king, to the president. So, you make your room look nice. You know, let's say your school was voted, you know, the best high school in America. So the president's coming to visit. So you paint it up nice and you clean it. That's covered. That's why, by the way, this is a great little vort, the Rambam quotes Halachas Neir Shabbos twice in the Rambam. Once, and it sounds like, once in the context of Kavod Shabbos and once in Oneg Shabbos. Because Halachas Neir is both. Halachas Neir is Kavod Shabbos, so that's honor to Shabbos. You're getting ready for Shabbos. You light candles for Shabbos. It's also Oneg Shabbos. It adds light to your table. You enjoy a meal more when you have light at your table. Back then, they had no electricity. So that border of the Gra becomes a beautiful explanation why the Rambam quotes Hadokas Neir Shabbos twice. If you're interested, if you open up the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, in the first chapter on Hadokas Neir Shabbos, he has a long footnote, and he makes that vort. It's a famous vort. Wait a second. So the Gemara talks about one of the Amoraim would put on his talis and go and he'd wait for Shabbos to come. So the Rambam quotes this idea that a person gets dressed in his nice clothes and is Yoshevu Mitzapeh the Kenisas HaShabbos. He actively awaits, anticipates Shabbos coming. If you want to show you're covered for Shabbos, you don't just sit back and wait for it to come. You actively anticipate Shabbos' arrival. If the president was visiting your school, you'd get outside and wait in line and show you're actively. The Rambam's language is, Ezehu kavod zeh shamru chachamim, shemitzvah al adam lirchotz panov yada viraglov, bichamin be'erev Shabbos, ipnei kvod haShabbos, umis'atev betzitzis, v'yoshev bekoved rosh meichel lehakpolas b'nei haShabbos, kmo sheyotze likras hamelech. V'chamim harishonim hayu mekapsin Talmidehen, be'erev Shabbos, u'mis'atfin be'omim bo'o v'noitze likra Shabbos hamelech. In English, what is meant by honor? This is explained by the statement of the sages that in order to honor the Sabbath, one should, as a matter of religious duty, wash his face, hands, and feet with hot water on Friday, wrap himself in tzitzis, and sit in a dignified manner, waiting to receive the Shabbos, just as if one were going forth to meet the king. Indeed, the sages of old used to assemble their disciples on Friday night, put on their best clothes, and say, come, let us go forth to meet Sabbath, the king. This is the language of the Rambam, that one is supposed to actively anticipate and wait and await the coming of the Shabbos. So the Rav said very beautifully that this is where Kabbalah, this is the halacha that Kabbalah Shabbos is fulfilling. When we say Kabbalah Shabbos, what we're doing is we are actively anticipating the arrival of Shabbos. That's exactly what the Rambam says. As part of Kabbalah Shabbos, you take a shower, you're clean, you get dressed, the house is clean, and then you wait for Shabbos. That's part of Kabbalah Shabbos. I'm waiting for you to come, Shabbos. So what? No. The Rambam, you quotes from the Gemara, your Yoshev, I think the language is, I didn't look it up because I was in Shari Tzedek, that it says Yoshev u'mitzapeh. I have to get the exact language. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that what we do for Kabbalah Shabbos is basically an expression of that idea of Yoshev u'mitzapeh. Now, by the way, this is why, and this is sort of a wrench, and throws a little bit of a wrench, Kabbalah Shabbos is really supposed to be said before Shabbos, before Shkia. That's just the way it's supposed to be, and it's not what happens in most shuls. When you get up to Chadodi and Bo Yivashalom, that's when you're supposed to accept Shabbos. But you're supposed to accept Shabbos before Shkia. And certainly at Shkia, in most shuls, they get up to Chadodi and Bo Yivashalom after Shkia. So, all right, well, there's no way around that. That's just, unless your shul davens early. So that's like a wrench in the whole thing. But clearly, Kabbalah Shabbos was supposed to be said before Shkia. Anyway, that's another example where the minhag of Kabbalah Shabbos is rooted. Now, how come it took 1,000 years from the time of the Gemara for Kabbalah Shabbos to start? I don't know. But when it started, it wasn't like, oh, let's do Kabbalah Shabbos now. Kabbalah Shabbos was a fulfillment of a halacha that existed. And the Arizal and his Talmidim gave a formal expression to that halacha. Let's say these tefillos with kavana and use these tefillos as part of our active anticipation for Shabbos coming. Another side point, by the way, which I may have mentioned in the previous class, you should know this is the reason, and again, you might not like it because people don't do this, but this is the minhag in most of the world is to light Shabbos candles 18 minutes before sunset, 20 minutes before sunset. Yerushalayim has this 40-minute thing. 40 minutes. Where did it come from? You don't find it in the early Sfarim. Where did it come from? It's like a big secret. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal, has a Masorah. And this Masorah was publicized mostly through Rav Nevensol Shlita. And I think now it's in different Sfarim. But I heard it before it was in the Sfarim, so that was exciting. This is very exciting. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, you know why they lit candles 40 minutes before Shabbos? Because in the old days, they would daven mincha 35 minutes before Shkia. So the minhag was, you're home when your wife lights candles. Then you go to shul. You daven mincha. Kabbalah Shabbos. And you have plenty of time to get to Lecha Dodi, boy v'shalom, when? Before Shkia. So that's where the minhag came from. The minhag came from having the husbands there when their wives light, which is a good thing. And then they go to shul with the boys or whatever. And then davening starts a few minutes later, 10 minutes later, and you get to Lecha Boi v'shalom by Shkia. What happens nowadays in Yerushalayim? Candle lighting is 5:15. And when's mincha in all the shuls? 5:35. In other words, they wait 20 minutes. That's just what they do. So Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's not the way. And then in most shuls, like my shul and Rabbi Chema shul, we don't get to Lecha Dodi before Shkia. You with me? Shlomo Zalman says that's not the way. That's not the real way it's supposed to be. If you wanna, maybe you'll find shuls. If you ever daven somewhere in Yerushalayim, and they have mincha a half hour before Shkia. So you should know that's the real old minhag. I guess now, well, I don't know what the reason is. That has changed. But that's the old minhag, to have time to get to boy, which makes sense, to get to boy chala before Shkia. That's another idea. A third idea, when you get married, so there's an old custom that the chassan says a Dvar Torah at the chassan's tish. Again, you might not know about this for similar reasons. Although sometimes people come and stand. I guess most of you don't attend too many chassan's tishes. That's not your half. Okay, so you should know the chassan's tish at the chassan's tish. That's what goes on. There's also a custom that he's interrupted sometimes. People sing and interrupt, and some say there's a reason for the custom. So some say the reason is, in case he's not such a big Talmud Chacham and he's nervous, so he shouldn't be embarrassed, so we stop him. So, well, he said, then we stop him, so he doesn't have to keep on going because it'll be embarrassing. He does something nice to say. Others say that if you want to really learn something that you'll enjoy, so Mitzvah Hashem, when you get engaged, sit down and read Rav Ari Kaplan's book, and it's a great book. He explains every minhag at the wedding. So you should know, there are many things we do at weddings. Chazal say that Hashem giving us the Torah was like a marriage of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. So many things we do at weddings are like minhagim, which are built on that idea, that the chasan and kal are getting married, and we're conjuring up the image of Hashem marrying Am Yisrael. There are a lot of examples. So when Hashem gave us the luchos, the first luchos were broken. So some say that we interrupt the chassan like as a remez to the breaking of the luchos, things like that. Okay. Anyway, the chassan says to you. The name of Ari Kaplan's book is Made in Heaven. Let me just read to you here. On page 92, he discusses the chassan giving a dvar Torah at the chassan's tish. And he writes, moreover, the groom wants to show that his bride has a Torah scholar for her husband. And he brings the Makoros in the bottom. On page 93, he quotes the other idea. There is also a deeper meaning in this interruption. As we have mentioned a number of times, the bride and groom represent Israel and God.
at the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Thus, just as God gave the Ten Commandments at Sinai, the groom delivers a discourse on the Torah. However, just as the tablets bearing those commandments were broken, the discourse is also interrupted.
So anyway, the chassan says, so why? So there are a lot of reasons given. You should know one reason is that a chassan has a chiyuv to be mesamech his kala. Now how can the chassan be mesamech the kala? He's at the chassan's tish. Ah, he shows, he knows Torah. So his kala is proud of the fact that my chassan can learn Torah. He's a talmid chacham. That's one very beautiful reason. I'll tell you another story that these chassans, I learned for a few years in Or HaChaim in Queens. Rav Daniel Lander of Shlita. He's a big Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. Very big Lamdin, like huge Lamdin. I love his shir. So once he was giving a shir kloli, and in the middle of a shir kloli, he quoted a really deep vort in Gemara and Lumbis. He says, I heard this from Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita at his Chassan's Tish. So whatever Rav Schechter said at his Chassan's Tish was good enough to be quoted 20, 30 years later in a shir kloli, when you're a future God over Yisrael, so that's exciting. That's what he quoted. I had a big thing in my notes, that he quoted Rav Schechter's Chassan's Tish Torah. Wow. Okay. Anyway, so briskers take this very seriously. And so the Rav explained like this. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov, there's mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. The Rambam says on Simchas Yom Tov, you better make sure you have you give food or tzedakah for anim. If the way you enjoy Yom Tov is you just have nice meals and enjoy yourself physically, that's Simchas Kreso, that's Simcha of the belly. That's not the real Simcha. Simcha Shel Mitzvah. You better make sure you're either having anim at your table or giving tzedakah. So we see from the Rambam that when there's a mitzvah of Simcha, what are you supposed to do? Was to share it. Share the simcha. Share it with others. Don't focus only on yourself. Share it with others. So the chassan has a chiyuv simcha. Simcha to be, that's a chiyuv, but chassan is simcha. A chassan, when you're besimcha, you're supposed to share it. And the best way to share simcha, teach others Torah. Torah, Kudei Hashem Yishayim V'sam Chilei, Torah brings simcha to people. That's why the chassan gets an aliyah the first week. There's a chiyuv to give a chassan an aliyah the first Shabbos, the first week after he's married, because when you get an aliyah, like you're the one who's teaching Torah. And that's the chassan's tish. He's sharing his simcha of the marriage, of the upcoming marriage, and the best way to share simcha is teaching others Torah.
The language of the Rambam, it's in Hilchos Yom Tov, Peruk Vav, Halacha Yud Ches. The Rambam writes, the ha'anashim ochlin basar v'shosin yayin, she'ein simcha el b'basar v'ein simcha el b'yayin. U'kisho ocha v'shose, chayiv l'hachi l'ger li'asam v'almana, im shar hanim ha'om lalim. Alamisha noa t'lasa l'schatzero, v'ocha v'shose hu v'bana v'ishto v'einu machi l'mashki l'anim, u'lumari nefesh, Ein zu simchas mitzvah, el simchas kreso, in English. And while one eats and drinks himself, it is his duty to feed the stranger, the orphan, the widow, and the other poor and unfortunate people. For he who locks the doors to his courtyard and eats and drinks with his wife and family, without giving anything to eat and drink to the poor and the bitter in soul, his meal is not a rejoicing in a divine commandment, but rather it's a rejoicing in his own stomach. And the Rambam goes on to speak negatively of such people. Oh, so my Rebbe Rav Schechter Shlita quoted this idea in his Sefer B'Ikvei Hatzon on page 95. He also quotes from the Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga that when a person offers a karban chagiga, he's supposed to share it with others. So we see from here that one important part of the mitzvah of simcha is to be mesameach others. So too, Limud Torah is a way of spreading simcha. That's why it's usher to learn most parts of Torah on Tisha B'Av or for an Avel. So that's why the Chassan gives Divrei Torah at the time of the wedding. And that's why the chassan gets an aliyah during the week of Sheva Brachos. He is being melameh Torah to others. He is trying to spread the simcha, his simcha, and share his simcha with others.
So that's a very beautiful, deep explanation, halachic explanation of this minhag. This is the style. And there are many, many examples. The musar for us is, this should give us chizuk. We have to realize that everything we do, it has a source. It's rooted, deeply rooted. We don't always know it. Deeply rooted. It's a pasuk, it's a mitzvah derabban, and even a minhag. Every minhag has deep roots. You know, you build a skyscraper, you have these roots going way down into the ground. Everything we do in our masorah is deeply, heavily rooted, way down, underground. And this whole attitude, this whole approach that the Gra clearly held, and Rav Salvechik continued as a chizik.